Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team Red Bulls and the people behind the Mobile Vet Center. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, celebrated every October, was created as a collaborative effort between government and industry to ensure every American has the resources they need to stay safer and more secure online. Since its inception a decade ago, under leadership from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the National Cybersecurity Alliance, National Cybersecurity Awareness Month has grown exponentially, reaching small and medium-sized businesses, corporations, educational institutions, and young people across the nation. Cybersecurity begins with a simple message everyone using the internet can adopt. Stop, think, connect. Take security and safety precautions. Understand the consequences of your actions and behaviors online and enjoy the benefits of the internet. When you cross the street, you look both ways to make sure it's safe. Staying safe on the internet is similar. It takes some common sense steps. Stop. Before you use the internet, take time to understand the risks and learn how to spot potential problems. Think. Take a moment to be certain the path ahead is clear. Watch for warning signs and consider how your actions online could impact your safety or your family's. Connect. Enjoy the internet with greater confidence, knowing you've taken the steps to safeguard yourself and your computer. Critical digital infrastructures encompass the global network of computers, data and websites that support everything from financial transactions, transportation systems, and emergency response systems to healthcare records and personal communications in cyberspace. Cyber experts say taking a common sense precaution can keep sensitive information secure, while also preventing identity theft and fraud. For more information on National Cybersecurity Awareness Month and how to keep safe online, visit staysafeonline.org. Protect yourself and help keep the web a safer place for everyone.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. The 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division is an Army National Guard brigade headquartered in Bloomington, Minnesota. The 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team is capable of supporting a U.S. Army with a trained and ready combat force and supports the state of Minnesota with troops capable of assisting civil authorities in times of emergency. And joining us now to talk about the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard is the commander, Colonel Robert Interest. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a great pleasure to be here today.
Colonel, we'd like to start with a little information. How long have you been in the military?
Well, I joined the Army in 1986 as an active duty enlisted medic and spent my first couple years in the military in Germany. I've been in a total of 28 years now, and of those, 24 of them as a commissioned officer.
Sir, do you think you still remember how to be a combat medic?
I do. In my previous civilian career, I was a nurse at Mayo Clinic in Rochester before I became a full-time soldier in the Minnesota Guard.
So if any of your troops are injured and there's not a medic around, you might be able to take care of them.
I can do both.
Sir, I understand you were deployed several times as well.
I have. While I was on active duty, I deployed to Turkey for a few months. I've deployed to Kosovo on K-45 Bravo with the Minnesota Army National Guard as the executive officer of 2 of the 135 Infantry headquartered in Mankato. And I've also deployed with Colonel David Alessario and the 1st Brigade Combat Team as the Deputy Brigade S3 to Iraq on what we like to call the long tour, the 23-month mobilization and deployment to Iraq in 06-08.
And, sir, now you're the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. And just a few years ago, we took the show over to Kuwait and did a live show from Camp Virginia with Colonel Kurska, who was in your position at that time.
He's a great mentor and friend of the Minnesota Guard and of me personally. I've been associated with Eric Kurska and his military career since I was a second lieutenant, and I have followed him through my career and very proud to call him a friend.
Sir, for those listeners that might be new to the show, can you tell us how does the Brigade Combat Team fit within the chain of command and within the Minnesota National Guard?
Yeah, Tom. So in Minnesota, we've got obviously the Minnesota National Guard, which is made up of both Army and Air. And on the Army side, we've got the benefit of having the 34th Infantry Division headquarters, a two-star general headquarters in Rosemont, Minnesota. And underneath the 34th Infantry Division, there are four major subordinate commands. And 1st Brigade is one of those. We have the 84th Troop Command, the 347th Regional Support Group, and the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade. And so I'm one of four major subordinate commands in the state of Minnesota. 1st Brigade comprises about 5,500 to 6,000 total soldiers under my command. So it is certainly the largest major subordinate command in the state and in the division.
And, sir, I understand since you took command in June, there have been some changes.
Yeah, we're on the precipice of a very big period of change, not only in the Minnesota Guard, but nationally. Across the nation, all seven Armored Brigade combat teams that the Army Guard has, we're all undergoing a series of changes right now. Specifically here in Minnesota, we have, within my brigade, we have a new field artillery battery within the 1 of the 125 field artillery. We have converted the Brigade Special Troops Battalion into a Brigade Engineer Battalion that adds an additional engineer capability to that unit. And this past few months, we have added the 1 of the 145 Armored Battalion in Ohio, the Ohio Army National Guard. They're our third maneuver battalion that's aligned for training within the 1st Brigade.
We're speaking with Colonel Robert Interest, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, it would seem that these changes were related to capabilities and your ability to be a self-contained combat arms formation. Is that correct?
Yes. The modularity concept is, in layman's terms, really a plug-and-play type concept. And so each of the brigade combat teams, there are three types of brigade combat teams in the Army force structure. There's an armored brigade combat team, what we have here in Minnesota. We've got infantry brigade combat teams, and we have striker brigade combat teams. And they each come with the correct types of support elements embedded within their force structure so that they can be mobilized and deployed and utilized in an austere environment. They're self-supporting. They're, you know, quote-unquote, plug-and-play into any other larger organization.
Colonel, when we watched the brigade deploy a few years ago with Colonel Kerska, we interviewed them before they left, and they were training up at Camp Ripley, and then, of course, we got to go over and see them. And it was amazing to me to watch how you can move that many soldiers halfway around the world, get them comfortable out in the desert, really comfortable, and then accomplish the missions. American combat troops have the ability to go anywhere, dig in, get comfortable, and get to work, don't they?
I believe so. Minnesotans more than most. You know, we just the Minnesota work ethic, the value system that we have here in the Minnesota Army National Guard, and specifically within 1st Brigade, allows us to coalesce as a team very quickly. And everybody pulls their own weight. Everybody's chipping in to complete the mission, so that it's not overly stressful or too hard on any one person. Or one unit, and so we really do benefit from that teamwork mentality in the brigade.
And Colonel, having access to Camp Ripley so close to home and right here in Minnesota has to allow you to maintain that high readiness status that perhaps some other states aren't able to achieve.
Camp Ripley is just, it is absolutely one of the greatest treasures that we have here in Minnesota, not only for its natural resources, but for the military training that it provides us, the training it provides our state partners within other state agencies, and it's in our back door. And without it, you know, the 1st Brigade, Armored Brigade Combat Team would have no way of maintaining the level of readiness that we need to maintain. You know, that level of readiness has paid us some huge dividends over the next 2 years, because we were the number one ready brigade in the Army Guard force structure. We are the recipient of the only National Training Center rotation in 2016, and that is a huge benefit for not only the soldiers, but the 1st Brigade and the Minnesota Army National Guard as a whole.
And, sir, for the soldiers when they're training for deployments and getting ready for deployments, it allows them to stay closer to home for a longer period of time before they have to go off and train with the U.S. Army, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. You know, Camp Ripley is really, again, that treasure that allows us to train to our wartime mission here locally in Minnesota.
So, Colonel, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about, you've got some exercises and some exciting things coming up over the next couple of years with the 1st Brigade Combat Team. We're speaking with Colonel Robert Interest, the commander of the 1st BCT, the Red Bulls, 34th Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll learn what they're going to be up to over the next couple of years. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My guest today has been Colonel Robert Interest, commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard. Colonel, I understand that it's going to be a busy couple of years and that this summer you've got another warfighter exercise coming up.
Yeah, Tom, we really have a unique opportunity that the 1st Brigade hasn't experienced for a very, very long time. In fact, one of the things we'll talk about here is an event that we're going to be able to do in 2016 that the brigade's never been able to do. But in the near term here, in April of 2015, we'll be having the first of three of our exercise progression over the next 2 years, and it's called a Brigade Warfighter Exercise. This is a simulation exercise for the headquarters, brigade headquarters staff officers, and our battalion commanders and their staff officers to participate and work through the staff process and how to command and control and effectively use the elements of what the Army calls mission command, influencing our soldiers and all the systems that go with that to exercise command and control across the span of our brigade. And so that is a validation exercise for the staff and for the commanders at both those levels, and will be evaluated and from an operations group, a training group out of Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, who come up and help us facilitate that exercise and then run us through. And I get partnered with a retired active duty general officer as my senior mentor, and we go through that process, and it's a great learning and training experience for all of us.
So, Colonel, is that one of those where they come in and they present you with a set of circumstances and you have to go react?
Well, it's not. For a lot of people, it would seem like a video game, but it's really not. You know, the Army provides us a very complex, wicked problem set to try to solve and apply the military decision-making process to solving these complex problems, and then take what we think is an adequate solution and utilize the mission command systems that the Army has given us, all the computers and the various tools, to try to work through the simulation to implement our solution to that given complex problem and see how well we did. And so it's a great experience.
So this would be a validation of all the other training that you've done to prove to yourself that you're ready to go take care
exactly.
of these situations.
That's exactly right.
And, sir, what's coming up after that?
So following the warfighter, where we're doing the training and validation of our battalion and brigade staff officers and their commanders, we'll be doing what the Army National Guard calls an exportable combat training capability, an XCTC rotation. That'll be done up at Camp Ripley, and that's a period of a 21-day annual training period for our battalions. And it's really focused on a platoon, what we call platoon collective training, and that's getting after the Army mission set that our small units are directed to do. And so in case of infantry, it's infantry tactics or armor tactics. Or if you're in the supply realm or logistics realm, you're doing logistics convoys. And so the exportable combat training capability, the XCTC that gets brought to Minnesota, comes with an entire enabler group that does simulations for us in terms of real live IED type simulations to instrumented AARs, active duty action reviews, after action reviews that are instrumented. Soldiers actually wear harnesses with GPS receivers, and there are people with cameras, and so you can actually do an instrumented AAR after the training lanes that the units will go through. So that starts in about the May timeframe, and that runs consecutively all the way through the middle of August at Camp Ripley. And so of the 7 battalions in the 1st Brigade, each one of those battalions will have a 21-day period. Some of them overlap, but we'll be busy at Camp Ripley for the whole summer.
That's a good thing they built that cinder block city and the capability to test the IEDs up there.
Absolutely. We'll be putting it to good use this summer.
We're speaking with Colonel Robert Interest, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, once again, Camp Ripley comes into play, and Arden Hills is another great training facility. You've got a lot of resources in Minnesota, don't you?
We do. Minnesota provides us a great opportunity, far better than most National Guard states that have combat units in it, to be able to do really what is our core Army mission, and that is to prepare and conduct offensive and defensive operations, you know, against the enemy. And so Camp Ripley and all of the training resources we have here in Minnesota allow us to effectively do that.
Sir, it sounds like a busy year, but you've got some something coming up in 2016 as well.
Yeah, I talked a little bit previously, Tom. The high state of readiness that the Minnesota National Guard, specifically 34th Infantry Division and my brigade, have been able to sustain in terms of personnel readiness and equipment readiness and training readiness has led us to be the number one Army National Guard brigade, heavy brigade in the National Guard. With that comes an opportunity to participate in the Active Duty National Training Center rotation, what we call NTC. It's part of the Combat Training Center's programs. They have a JRTC, a Joint Readiness Training Center, for the light infantry, and then they have National Training Center for the heavy forces out at Fort Irwin, California. We will be the only National Guard brigade in 2016 that gets to go to the NTC. And so that is a 21 to 25 day rotation out in the desert in Fort Irwin. It is going to be the single greatest deployment out of the state of Minnesota in the history, because unlike the two previous deployments of the 1st Brigade headquarters, or the 1st Brigade units to Iraq and Operation New Dawn, this one we are having to deploy all of our tanks, all of our Bradleys, all of our Paladin field artillery systems. All of the systems out of Minnesota will get on rail cars and headed out to Fort Irwin, California, to be exercised in the desert against a real live, thinking, dynamic, opposing force. And we'll have to execute that wartime mission in the high desert for about 21 days. So it'll be a great experience.
Sure, that sounds like the biggest test that comes up every year, and you get to do it in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, very unique experience. I've never been to the NTC. National Training Center at Fort Irwin. I have been to the Joint Readiness Training Center at Fort Polk, Louisiana, but this will be a unique experience for me and for the vast majority of 1st Brigade soldiers. And it won't be without a lot of difficult and challenging training over the next 2 years, without some sacrifices. But the reward at the end of this is really for those members of the Minnesota Guard, the members of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. It really is an opportunity to validate all of those Army skills that you've been trained and have been doing for so long in your military career. To actually do those things at the National Training Center is really a very unique experience for us.
Colonel, it sounds like the 4 years we've been on the air that the readiness status of the Minnesota National Guard has been at the highest level. But the world sounds like it's getting to be a more and more dangerous place. There seem to be things popping up all over the place, and I'm sure you have to be trained to the level that you're prepared in case you're called upon for a federal mission to be deployed. How much time does that take, and how much effort does that take from your soldiers and take away from their civilian jobs?
It is one of the single greatest concerns I have taking command of this great brigade here in the state of Minnesota. I have genuine concern for the welfares of our families, for our service members, for the employers that support our Guard and Reserve members, and for the university system and the education system that many of our soldiers are participating in. think it's very important. It'll be certainly part of my command messaging over the next year to get out ahead of that and talk to the soldiers, talk to the employers, talk to the educational system administrators to let them know and what to expect. The training requirements are going to be many, but the reward at the end of that National Training Center is really second to none, and it will be a highlight of and a true validation of everything that our soldiers have put forth in their military career, that we can actually do that in the most rigorous training environment that the Army can replicate.
Sir, the Minnesota National Guard has been deployed thousands of times since 2001, and it looks like you need to be prepared for more. Any final thoughts for listeners about the 1st Brigade Combat Team?
Tom, I appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk to you today on the Minnesota Radio Hour, and I think I'm humbled and honored to be the 1st Brigade Commander. I would invite anybody that wants to be part of this great team and looking forward to going to NTC to join, talk to your local recruiters. I could use everybody that that wanted to participate in that National Training Center rotation. So,
sir, thank you for joining us today. That was Colonel Robert Intrust, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division, Minnesota National Guard. Please stay with us. We'll be right back to meet the people behind the Mobile Vet Center. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to meet the people behind the Mobile Vet Center. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelletow.
The gold star symbolizes the loss of a loved one while serving in the armed forces of the United States, whether it be in combat or duty other than combat. Gold star families have given so much and continue to give back to the community through voluntary acts. In bearing the loss of a loved one, gold star mothers, fathers, spouses, and their families truly understand the cost of this country's security and freedom. The family members of our fallen have earned the utmost respect and undying gratitude of our nation and our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelletow. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about our Mobile Vet Center are Lina Knox and Neil Krenz. Lina and Neil, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Lina, I want to start with you. I understand you're a Veterans Outreach Specialist. And can you tell me a little bit? You're in the military.
I am. I'm currently serving with the 1135th Combat Support Company out of Arden Hills. I've been there for a couple years now. I'm a staff sergeant, and I am in charge of the operations for Class 3 and Class 5, which is fuel and ammo.
You look excited about that. Do you like it?
It's all right.
Well, tell me, how did you end up with being a veteran outreach specialist?
Oh, well, several years ago, I just was applying for jobs. I originally was a mobile vet center technician. So I actually drove the mobile vet center unit around the state, and they had an opening for the outreach specialist, which is what I was already doing, going out into the community, outreaching to veterans. So we just changed my job title.
Very good. And Neil? You're a Mobile Vet Center counselor and come from kind of a legendary Minnesota National Guard family.
Yeah, I've got two brothers that are both majors in the Minnesota Army National Guard. My younger brother and I were actually enlisted together, went through airborne training together, ROTC. So we've been through a lot together. And my older brother, he pretty much was the catalyst of getting us, you know, we looked at him as the Guard was very, very good to him, very successful, and so Tom and I decided to follow him in the Guard as well.
And Major Aaron Krenz has been on the show several times,
yep.
And you were a captain.
I was. I spent the last 7 years of my 12 years in the National Guard as a commissioned officer, separated from service as a captain in 2008, and I was in the field artillery for all of my 12 years.
And Neil, how did you get involved with the Mobile Vet Center?
Well, when I returned home from Iraq in January of 06, I was working a job that wasn't very rewarding to me. And I remember talking with a friend of mine. He says, well, what do you want to do? Forget about pay, forget about prestige or what people are going to think about you. What do you want to do? And I said, I wanted to work with veterans. And he said, well, then do it. So the job came open on USA Jobs, and I applied for it. And it's my passion now. That's what I love to do. I love to help those who have sacrificed for this country and their families as well.
So, Neil, let's follow up with that. What is the Mobile Vet Center?
The Mobile Vet Center is a 39-foot RV used for outreach. We, Lina and I, travel throughout the whole state of Minnesota and sometimes into neighboring states. And the whole purpose of that vehicle is education. We want to educate people about what we do at the vet centers, which is readjustment counseling for eligible veterans and their family members. Okay, a lot of times the VA can only see the veteran. Well, we can see the family members as well, and as far as we're concerned, they're veterans as well.
So, Lina, with this RV, the Mobile Vet Center, you're taking information outstate, out to our veterans, bringing it to them.
Correct, because sometimes veterans have a hard time actually getting to the medical center or have a hard time finding providers to help them. So the idea of the Mobile Vet Center is to go out into the community to find those veterans. And a lot of times we'll sit right in a community, like in a neighboring community, like in St. Cloud. We actually sat by the college and we actually had veterans come to us. And, you know, and that's what people see when we drive around with the Mobile Vet Center is we'll go into communities, any neighborhoods, and we will sit there where we know where veterans are, and veterans will come to us and we'll answer as many questions as we can. We can refer them out. The Mobile Vet Center is just like an office. So we have access to the internet. We have access to beyond the VA networking system. It has a satellite system. It's also worked for emergency disasters too. So it's capable of doing so many things other than just serving veterans, but just serving the community as well.
So, Neil, inside the Mobile Vet Center, do you have information on all the various programs available for our veterans?
No, we do. Absolutely. With any veteran that comes in and they present a question, we can either answer the question on the spot or research it and be able to refer them to the right place so that they're not being led astray. That's one thing, is we will not lead them down a bad road. As veterans ourselves, we know how frustrating it can be to be given a phone number, to call that number, and then it be a dead end. We will not put a veteran through that.
Oh, correct. And plus, Neil and I, we've been working together over 3 years. So because we know so many community providers, I mean, we make a phone call, they know us by name. So it's like the veteran validates that we know what we're talking about and we know what we're doing.
We're speaking with Lina Knox and Neil Krenz about the Mobile Vet Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Lina, what kind of questions do you get most often asked by our veterans?
A lot of it is benefits questions. How can I become service-connected? How can I file claims? Sometimes it's, are we confidential? How are we different from the medical center mental health? You know, where do we go? Jobs, always employment. References. I can't think of anything else now.
So whatever kind of issues they might have, they see you. I hope you've announced that you're coming and they come over and try to get some information.
Yes. Oh, of course.
So, yeah. Neil, do you coordinate with the VA healthcare system and with the county veteran service officers?
We do. We rely heavily on the county veteran service officers for the veterans benefits portion of it. For the veterans medical, we don't do any medical. We do the readjustment counseling, but we rely heavily on the CVSOs for our benefits too.
So what do you do if you get a veteran coming in that can't sleep at night and he's got PTSD and he's having troubles and he's just kind of out of options and he's going, help?
Well, we make sure that he or she knows that we care. That's number one. And then once that rapport has been established, we will provide readjustment counseling for him or her. And if it's something that medications required, we will give them a warm handoff to the VA medical center. And sometimes that means driving them over there, and getting them set up with an appointment.
So whatever it takes.
Exactly.
Lina, most of the colleges and universities in Minnesota have veteran service centers now. Do you coordinate with them as well?
Yes, we do. Right now, we actually have we've launched this new site through Meetup, which is Twin Cities Veterans Club. And so right now, Neil and I have been going to the colleges, educating those veterans coordinators and the students and the veterans clubs that, hey, you know, if you want to know more about what we do at the Vet Center, you can find us online, because we've noticed in the last several years that, you know, social media is a big thing with the veterans today. And so that's how we're outreaching to them, is going to the colleges and sitting in their veterans club meetings.
So Neil, when one of you mentioned St. Cloud and you're up there recently, how many veterans do you see in a day at a location like that?
It varies, but you know, if we're in a good spot where there's a high level of traffic, a lot of times if we're just sitting there for an hour, we may see 30 veterans. We may only see 5. It just depends. So it's just, you know, it just depends on who's out that day.
Mm-hmm. And Lina, what's the scariest thing you came across in terms of questions?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. So far, I mean, it's really hasn't been anything really. I think most of the time veterans want to know who we are. You know, how are we validated when we're helping them, and we let them know, you know, we're veterans ourselves. We know what you're talking about. We've been there. We've done that. And then they always finish with, and we got a t-shirt, you know, and it's that same thing.
So you had to prove yourself to them, didn't
you? That's right.
Neil, do you get veterans of all ages?
We do. We get veterans from the current conflict, Iraq and Afghanistan. And we get, talked to a World War II veteran yesterday. And, and a lot of what we're getting now is Vietnam veterans that are recently retiring from their civilian jobs, and they get that delayed onset of PTSD where they don't have their job to occupy their mind anymore. So it's nice to know that they've got a place to come and talk.
We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Lina Knox and Neil Krenz about the Mobile Vet Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about the Mobile Vet Center today with Lina Knox, a veteran outreach specialist, and Neil Krenz, the Mobile Vet Center counselor. And Neil, I want to come back to you. I assume you're traveling around so much with this RV, the Mobile Vet Center. Do you post a schedule somewhere?
There really isn't a set schedule. We're contacted by different agencies to come and help support their event. And, we're at people's request. So if somebody wants a presence of that vehicle somewhere, they call us at our phone number, and we see if we can support the event, which we usually can.
So once you schedule those trips, though, do you post those on your website?
Absolutely, we do.
And yep. Your website again?
It's vetcenter.va.gov.
And Sergeant Ben will have a link to that on the Minnesota Military Facebook page. So you just go there and you can pick that up and visit these folks whenever they come out to see you. Now, Lina, I want to come back to you. Are there different types of support you give in terms of clinical or non-clinical support to our veterans?
Yes, Neil and I, with the Mobile Vet Center, we focus a lot on like the non-clinical aspect of veterans, because we're not clinical counselors. We're non-clinical. And that non-clinical is like the wellness aspect of readjustment services. You know, we think when you think of readjustment services or counseling, you automatically assume clinical, but there's the wellness part that's non-clinical, and that are, you know, wellness groups and sports groups and sporting events that we don't actually think that is actually therapeutic, and it actually is. So currently, Neil and I manage bowling, golf, softball. We golf like all year round. We have a combat women's basketball team that starts in November. Our bowling starts in 2 weeks. And every year the locations are always different, but we do post them up on our new site through Meetup, which is Twin Cities Veterans Club.
Now that sounds like a recreational vehicle, not a mobile vet center.
Very true.
A lot of activities there, but it gets the veterans to open up, doesn't it?
It does. It does. When, you know, we just had it where we were playing softball and one of the veterans actually had a bad day. And, you know, we actually had clinical staff coming to cheer our team on, and that veteran was able to talk to a clinical staff right then and there.
So, Neil, do you get some old veterans, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, kind of walk in and say, I've never talked to anybody since I got out of the service, but I've got these issues?
Absolutely. We get walk-ins all the time, and usually it's the family member that kind of nudges them in that direction, but we encourage that. We encourage walk-ins. And we're seeing a lot with the Vietnam veterans that are just retiring. Feelings and thoughts that they've maybe suppressed for years are starting to resurface.
Now that they're not so busy again and they've got time on their hands, the old demons come back, don't they?
Yeah, it's pretty common. And, you know, it's something that they may feel like they're alone, but they're not. And we want to make sure that they know that they're not alone and they've got someone to talk to.
So I'm assuming you tell them, let's find your DD-214, your discharge paper, and mm-hmm. let's get over and meet your local county veteran service officer to get things started.
Yep, absolutely. Sometimes they have it right on hand. Other times they haven't seen it for years, and we help them get it. And, you know, the CVSOs, I've given veterans a ride right to their county veteran service officers. So we work hand in hand.
And Lina, I'm sure some of those CVSOs, county veteran service officers, even help them find a 214 if they can't find it or don't have it.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Usually, and sometimes we ask what is convenient for the veteran. Sometimes even finding their DD-214, we can actually do it at the vet center. And we've done it several times where we're a lot closer than the CVSO, or, you know, veterans that live in Hennepin County and they just don't want to drive to Minneapolis. We say, come to Brooklyn Park. You know, our office manager helps them a big ton, and in 15 minutes, they're walking out with a copy of their DD-214, and we're able to help them get it to their CVSO.
So your home base is the Brooklyn Park Veterans Center?
Correct.
Now, how many days of the year are you on the road?
Oh, we're actually on the road on an average about three times a week, three to four, depending on the week, depending on the seasons. In the summer, we're a lot more busier than on the road than in the wintertime.
Captain, your sergeant smiles when she says that. Is she doing the driving?
She does most of it, especially when we're, you know, attending these events together. She's the mobile vet center technician / driver / outreach specialist. And when we're doing these events together, I ride shotgun.
Yes, he does.
Lina, keep up the good work and keep him safe.
Thank you. I will.
Captain, we started with Lina. We're going to end with you. Just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I would say that if you're a veteran out there or a family member of a veteran and you are seeing some things in the veteran that you maybe think could benefit from our services, please don't hesitate to call. We are a lot of us are veterans ourselves that have maybe faced some of these same challenges, and it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. It's a sign of strength.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. It was Lina Knox and Neil Krenz from the Mobile Vet Center based out of Brooklyn Park Vet Center. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, has Patriot Guard been busy as usual?
They have been.
Lots of missions and lots of folks.
Lots of mission, lots of folks. They're starting to get a little bit on the weather side, so everybody's starting to use their cages. So anybody that's not on a motorcycle and thinks they should be, all of us are in cages now. So
no change for me, but good change for you, isn't it? Tim, you shared with me here a thank you card that you got recently from one of your missions. Should we share that with the audience?
Yes, please.
It says, what you did meant a lot. Thanks so much. In our minds, we will hold close the image of the Patriot Guard's passageway to our loved one's resting place. Your presence was beautiful to see and calming to the troubled heart. Thank you for your kind and unselfish act of honoring our loved one and making us feel proud. Tim, that's what the Patriot Guard's all about, isn't it?
That's what it's all about. And that's some of the rewards we get in our own hearts. We go to the missions, we stand, honor, dignity, and respect for someone's loved one. could be a complete stranger to us, but they're dear to our hearts because they have been somebody that has served to protect our freedoms.
Tim, we joke about cages and motorcycles and arriving by a parachute, but these missions are important and the families feel them close, don't they?
Yes, they are. That's one of the reasons I shared that card with you. It kind of gives you the feeling of what they're feeling when we're standing there.
And Tim, you've got volunteers, Patriot Guard riders from all over the state. Who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider.
And what do they need?
A 3x5 flag in honor, dignity, and respect for our service members.
And a good heart.
And a good heart.
And you go on hundreds of missions every year.
We go on hundreds of missions. Last year we did over 400.
And they're funerals, but they're also departure ceremonies for our troops.
And welcome homes. Those are the fun ones.
And those are the ones that are really felt a lot, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
But Tim, you and your riders are doing a fantastic job, and I just want to encourage you to keep it up. And for any of our listeners out there, if you want to join, just go to the website.
MinnesotaPatriotGuard.org.
And click on the box and join, and you'll get notifications of these missions.
Yes.
Tim, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Robert Intrust, Lina Knox, Neil Krenz, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelletow of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet one of our state's largest yellow ribbon companies and meet the Minneapolis VA prosthetics team. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.